This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to New Books in Game Studies, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. I'm Rudolf Inders, the host of the channel. Today, we'll be talking to Hartmut Könitz, the author of Understanding Interactive Digital Narrative, Immersive Expressions for a Complex Time. The publisher is Routledge. Before we jump right in, though, I want to let you know that if you like our show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or the audio platform of your very choice. You are more than welcome to leave feedback or questions on Spotify as well. Also, feel free to share this episode with your friends or colleagues and wherever you see fit. And now, back to the show. Looking back over the past 30 years of theorizing about or around interactivity, storytelling, and the digital across the fields of game design, game studies, media studies, narratology, as well as interactive documentary and other emerging forms, Understanding Interactive Digital Narrative offers important and insightful correctives to common misunderstandings that pervade the field. And I'm sure we can learn much more about this impactful topic today. So without further ado, Hartmut, welcome to the show.
Welcome. And from me too. And yeah, thanks for having me.
I wonder if you could begin the interview by telling us a bit about yourself and probably your favorite game of all time.
Oh God, that is such a difficult question. I have so many that I like. I really like the game that I'm playing right now, which is called Norco, which is an adventure game that is set in Louisiana. I can highly recommend that, Norco. And the next one on my list, but I haven't started it yet, is Salt Sea Chronicles. I think that's a fantastic game and I'm really looking forward to playing that one. So about me, yes. So I'm originally from Germany. I started studying German literature and English literature many, many years ago. Eventually, I did a master's degree in information science, German literature and politics. I dabbled in many different things, including working as a tech journalist for 14 years. And I was even the CTO of a startup in Berlin for a while. And then eventually I decided that I wanted to have a PhD and I went to the US and did a PhD at the Georgia Institute of Technology with Janet Murray as the head of my committee. Then I worked as an assistant professor at the University of Georgia. After that, I became a professor for narrative design at the University of the Arts in Utrecht, and I'm now a professor for media technology at Södertörn University in Stockholm.
Well, that's quite a CV, actually. Yeah, great. Thank you. Well, circling back to your book provides a comprehensive overview of the evolution of interactive digital narrative, IDN, over the past 30 years, as I have mentioned before. Please, can you share some insights into the key milestones or shifts in thinking that have shaped the field and how these have influenced your perspective on IDN?
Well, I mean, I stumbled upon the notion of IDN while writing my master's thesis. And it was some work done at the MIT Media Lab at the time. And up until that time, I had, you know, all the time, this sort of competing interests in both narrative in different forms and computation. And you know, for a long time, I wondered, how do I bring this together? And then I found it in interactive digital narrative. I think we have seen many milestones which are very analogous to the development of games. And of course, you know, these are very intertwined. I mean, of course, you can see, I think, very early text-based adventures as interactive narratives. Certainly when the early graphic adventures, I mean, so graphics, computer graphics, of course, was a big shift. And then, of course, we see, you know, first-person shooters would probably have, you know, less narrative, but then we see again that more narrative also gets into some shooters and adventures turn into 3D adventures and, you know, action adventure games and things like that. And I mean, I think we're now at a point in time where, of course, computers have the power to do cinematic 3D representations. And there's also a bit of a danger, of course, with that, that instead of trying to do actual interactive narrative, that people resort to, you know, sort of cutscenes and cinematic representations to get narrative across. So I think that's what we are seeing in recent years, that many AAA games sort of relegate a narrative to cutscenes, while smaller and indie productions are basically looking to really innovate on what I would really understand as finding interactive ways to convey narration.
Hmm. You also introduce a conceptual framework in your book influenced by cybernetics and cognitive narratology. I wonder, how do these theoretical approaches contribute to a better understanding of IDN and how might they even address limitations in perspectives originally developed for traditional media forms? Also, I wonder whether you could provide examples of how this framework can inform the design and analysis of successful interactive narratives.
Right. Yes, certainly. So I think, you know, one big problem is when we approach interactive narrative is that, you know, we're sort of, you know, we can easily trapped into the thinking, oh, this is narrative plus interactivity. Right. And this is sort of an approach where we think it's interactivity is an addition to narrative. You know, it's something extra to the traditional way of conveying a narrative. And if we go that route, I think we do not do proper interactive narrative. We instead interactivize existing forms. And that's, you know, creates all these games. I mean, for example, The Last of Us, that when people talk about the wonderful narrative in The Last of Us, I mean, what I see is a shooter game where if I survive a level as a reward, I get some cinematic narrative as a reward. Right, it's really a mixture of, in a sense, a game and a digital movie, and this comes out of the thinking of a narrative is this traditional, you know, static fixed form, while games are this dynamic form, right? This dichotomy, and basically what I'm doing with my framework is I'm giving people a different way to think about it, which starts by understanding an interactive narrative artifact as a dynamic system and as a thing where the narration is really shaped by the participant, the player, the interactor, as Janet Murray would have called it, and is not completely predetermined. I'm telling designers to think about that we are really creating something when we do an interactive narrative that is unfinished, that has the potential for many instantiated narratives, but these narratives are then instantiated in the playing, in the experiencing, in the interacting with this artifact. And of course, I mean, we can record, you know, such things, and the recording, of course, might feel like a movie, but we have two steps before that. So we first have the system, and then we have an interactive process, and then out of that can come an instantiated, recorded product. And that's why I call my theoretical framework SPP for system, process, and product. And once we come with that kind of an approach to the design and to the analysis, I think we start seeing how narratological perspectives rooted in analyzing fixed artifacts don't really apply anymore, right? So I mean, something like if you write a book, right, you are in full control of every word. You are in full control of the finished product. And of course, if somebody reads that, we can interpret that, but we cannot change it. So if you create an interactive narrative, you create a dynamic system, and people might do unexpected things with it. So there is, it's a different challenge, and it's a different creative approach and creative joy. I'm constantly telling designers, you need to be cool with unexpected things happening because you don't know what your participants will do. And of course, for people used to, let's say, film, I mean, who are in control of every frame and every cut, that's a difficult challenge often. And that's, I'm also saying, interactive narrative is not for everyone and maybe not for every particular project. You need to be okay with releasing control. And I'm telling my students some sort of a mantra, which is, I sit back and watch with amazement what people will do with my work. And that, I think, is the essence. And that's really like, so narratology, existing literary narratology, knows a lot and understands very well fixed artifacts like the printed book and like the final final theatrical release of a movie, but it knows very little of things that can change over time. And yes, of course, I'm aware of, you know, reader response theory and things like, I mean, you know, the death of the author, Roland Barthes. But this is still, I mean, I call this interactivity one. It's an we can interpret. And of course, we are not passive when we watch a movie or when we read a book. Our brain is still active. We speculate. We think what can happen. We interpret what we're seeing and what we're reading. But what we're concerned with in interactive digital narrative is what I call interactivity two. And that is when we can make plans and we can execute these plans. So when we have planning and execution, when we can think, okay, should I change the perspective here? Should I go to the forest or should I go to the village, right? Should I talk to the king or to the villager here? That's when we're making a plan, and when we actually do it with our avatar, we walk to the forest, we actually click on the other perspective, we talk to the king, when we have executed this plan. So this is interactivity two of planning and execution, and existing narratological theory knows very little, if anything, about that. And this is really the need for a new narrative theory. And that's what I'm trying to provide with my book and with the SPP system.
Now, the great aforementioned Janet Murray has praised your book for its groundbreaking analysis and contribution to the theory and design of interactive digital narratives. In what ways do you envision your work influencing the future of IDN, and What key takeaways or advice would you offer to students, practitioners, and instructors looking to delve into the realm of interactive storytelling and game writing?
Yeah, I mean, it's very nice to get this praise from Janet, of course. But you know, the sea change that I'm trying to make happen, and I'm certainly not the other and the only one. There's certainly others work on that too. Is really the understanding what I said before, that interactive digital narrative needs new approaches. It's not, we cannot just use existing conventions, existing theoretical approaches that work for fixed narrative artifacts and expect these to work. They might actually be counterproductive. And if we have a game writing program where students are essentially taught script writing, well, then we have a conflict between, you know, what we're actually trying to create as products and what the students learn, because, you know, script writing is something for a different medium where in the end I have a fixed artifact. So I think students should really look into things that are dynamic. I mean, start with thinking about cybernetic art is a good starting point. It was for me. Where you start understanding that you're no longer in full control of what happens, and where you need to start making room for your audience, for your interactors to put in their own thoughts, their performance, their own narrative ideas, and then you have a very different kind of an approach in the end.
Yeah. Well, Hartmut, at this point we have taken a lot of your time. Maybe please tell our listeners, what are you working on now, and what will be your very next projects?
I'm working on a number of things. I'm lucky that I'm running a cost action that's a European grant for network and capacity building, and where we have about 230 people from about 40 countries, and we're trying to provide during this action a foundation for you know, more uptake of interactive narrative production, a better understanding of interactive digital narrative, and things like, you know, full study programs focused entirely on interactive digital narrative. So here, one of the projects that we're working to finish hopefully this year is we will provide an encyclopedia, because, I mean, there's a lot of terminological confusion. So we try to provide one guide for everybody to look at. And we have a contract with Routledge for that. And it will have many, many authors. So that's one concrete project. Another project that we have basically already finished, but not fully published yet, is we created templates for bachelor's and master's programs, both in the US and the European system, in interactive digital narrative studies and design. And we hope we have some ideas where we could sort of implement that first. Another effort that I'm only an author in and done by others, and that I'm very happy about, there will be a collection of syllabi coming out for teaching interactive digital narratives. So yeah, these are three things that I think are really important, and we are very close on starting the first academic journal on interactive narratives, co-published with ETC Press. The first issue is nearly ready.
Wow. Well, I must say that's a lot and sounds very promising and exciting. So best of luck, of course, for this and that.
Thank you.
I want to thank you also for being on the show today. And I really enjoyed it, obviously, because now I'm really stunned because you put up so many projects. This means also lots of conversation and podcasting for you and me in the future. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
As I said, I really enjoyed it. For now, take care and goodbye.
And also goodbye for me. Thank you.
So, dear listeners, I hope you liked this episode. If you are an author and or an editor in the field of digital game studies yourself and want to talk about your latest research or publication, please do not hesitate to contact me under rudolf.inderst@googlemail.com. Alternatively, please send me a direct message on social media. You will find me under Rudolf Inderst on Facebook and Instagram and under @GameStudies on Blue Sky. And again, please share this episode where you see fit. And don't forget to keep it playful all the time. Thank you very much. Goodbye.